Let me open us this morning with a prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to celebrate the death of Jesus Christ and its significance. I pray that you will write your word upon our hearts that we might not sin against you. Lord God, you've promised that your word will not return void, but it'll accomplish everything that you set it out to do. And I pray that you will accomplish great and mighty things, which we don't even know yet. Open us up to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Do not work for the food which perishes. The right kind of food. I love to eat meat. Meat of almost every kind, except fish. It's not really meat, is it? I don't eat fish. But John is taking us to a different kind of food in our passage, a spiritual food. It's not confined to John. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. But he's not talking about literal, physical milk and food. He's talking about that which is spiritual. Author of the book of Hebrews does the same thing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Is he talking about literal physical food? No, of course not. He's talking about spiritual food. How to move from milk to spiritual solid food. Or how do you move from simply that which is purely worldly stuff to spiritual stuff? Most of our lives, we have dealt only with worldly things. Physical food, school, work, debt, relationships, everyday, ordinary stuff since we were born. It's not necessarily bad stuff. We have to work, we have to eat, and we have to sleep. But now, we need to move beyond the worldly to the spiritual, temporal only to now eternal things. We still have the temporal, but God wants to move us on. Do we have to? Yeah, we do. And that is my job, to help move us beyond ourselves, to help awaken us to something bigger than this, simply bigger than what we can see, feel, hear, taste, and touch. So together, all of us can more effectively reflect God, to make Him visible. That's what God put us here to do. He put us here that He might be seen in our midst, that God is seen in His creatures. That was Jesus' purpose in coming, that God might be seen physically upon this earth. Now He has extended it to us. But how do we move from the little picture to the big picture? Too often the little picture stuff gets in the way of the big picture stuff. The problems, the fears, the doubts, the anxiety, the everyday, the mundane. And those tend to find a way into right in front of our eyes, and then we get our eyes off the one we need to see. I'm not asking you to quit your jobs. I'm not asking you to become missionaries, to change professions. God is not asking you to leave here as a missionary and go to some jungle somewhere. But He has called us to be missionaries. But right here where we are, right? Doing what we are doing. He has called us to just have a bigger picture than just the physical. Here is a world of there's a world of angels, I believe, all around us, but we can't see them. We are really, literally seated at the right hand of Christ, at the right hand of God, but we can't see it. We're still locked into these physical bodies, but there is such a spiritual reality. Jesus Himself had to deal with the spiritual too when He's tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4. And the tempter came and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. we tend to need to move to beyond just the physical to that which comes from God, spiritual food. How do we get the spiritual big picture? We're celebrating communion this morning, and I want this to be all wrapped up in communion because we're talking about bread here, and we're talking about His body here. So what is it trying to take us to? What are we to learn? The Lord's Supper, from that perspective, it can get us to look beyond the mundane. We can begin to get the big picture. Spiritual food rather than physical food, eternal truths. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 6. And starting in verse 31, John writes this. Our fathers, in verse 31 of John 6, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus therefore said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives His life to the world. They said therefore to Him, Well, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now notice here, so far in this passage, He doesn't say, eat this bread. He says, he who comes to me and he who believes in me, He says, you will never hunger and you will never thirst. This is not physical or temporal truths. They're spiritual, life-changing, and eternal. Drop down to verse 41. The Jews, therefore, were grumbling about Him because He said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Jesus clearly is that bread of life. But is He a piece of bread? I mean, is that all He is? So we need to deal with, what does this mean when He says, I'm the bread, or eat this bread, or I am the bread? Verse 47, beginning this section, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. It starts with believe. We saw last week that faith has always been God's vehicle for His people to approach Him. It's always been by faith. So, verse 48 again. I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one might eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. So then we start thinking. There are some. There's one denomination that says that these elements actually change into the body and blood of Christ. And there is great procedure all around that and great pomp and circumstance all around that. But I think that diminishes it. I think God wants to take us beyond that. We're already wrapped up in the physical. He wants us to see the spiritual beyond it. There is these elements, and they mean something. You can't argue with that denomination. You try to say, well, it's not really. Well, they'll take you to John 6, and they'll say, this is my body, this is my flesh, and you can't argue with that, but it's bigger than that. And that's the point of these passages like this. They're trying to take us beyond the little picture to the higher picture. And I say there's basically two things we need to do. One is not look at that verse. It's to aim higher than that verse. John 6, verse 2, a large crowd followed Him because they saw the signs which He was performing on those who were sick. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, not for spiritual stuff, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Look at verse 30. That's still up there. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? I want to see something. I want you to change something. I want you to do something. I want to see it, be able to touch it, and all that. They're aimed in the wrong direction. Show me. It reminds me a little bit of what we see in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't worry then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows you need these things. You got to have physical stuff. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Toward eternal things. It is possible to do this, or God wouldn't ask us to do it. The author of the book of Hebrews says it this way. Let us run with endurance the race. It's the Greek word agona. We get agony from this word that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Is this a physical race? He's not talking about a physical race. Is he any more than we're talking about physical bread? Is it a spirit? It's a spiritual agony, and it's not easy to do to run this life. It's a spiritual battle. Colossians chapter 3 says it this way. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. Aim higher. This is not all there is. He wants us to get a bigger picture. Place your thoughts in the right direction, things above. These elements are designed to help us to do that. We'll do it every month. We take something, we actually take it as a part of us. But it's to be done to remind us of something that's bigger than this. Ponder the things of God. You might say, I don't know enough about God to ponder the things of God. I don't know enough scripture. Well, that's why we're here. That's why I teach the Word. That's why I teach attributes of God. That's why I preach. It comes from here. So we do come to know the things of God. There's another element on how to maintain the big picture. Not only to aim higher, but recognize the bread. And I even want it to go beyond this. Recognize the bread and the right body. Okay? They were looking for a show. The theme is food. So they go to manna in the wilderness. We want to be fed just like they were fed. I'm sure that they were looking for Jesus to simply show them another trick. Make maybe producing manna in the wilderness right where they are. Make us some bread. Well, he did that, interestingly, earlier with the feeding of the 5,000. He made bread out of a little bread for enough bread to feed thousands. He created bread. But Jesus, they say, okay, show us bread. He says, all right, I'll show you bread. I am the bread. God gave them the bread in the wilderness, gave it to the people. Jesus is our bread. Okay, back to what he's been saying all along. Same thing John the Baptist had been saying. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here I am. It focuses upon the person of Jesus Christ. But they're not looking for that. And too often the world isn't looking for that. Just do something. Show me something. I think there are people in this community that they don't go to church because they don't think God's there. They go there and they don't see anything special. They don't see anything different in anybody. So why go there? Why do it? Why get into the things of God? If God is going to be seen, he's going to be seen in people like us. He's going to be seen in our lives, in our body. Let me shift a little bit. We've been talking about the body of Christ. Let me tell you another verse that talks about body, because we're looking at true bread. Ephesians chapter 1. The end of chapter 1 starts off with huge theology section, all kinds of stuff. The doctrines of election, doctrines of predestination, doctrines of inheritance, doctrines of the Holy Spirit. And he comes down at the end of chapter 1, and he says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, Jesus' feet, and he gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. No small thing. We're talking about the body of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We've been crucified in a very real sense. We're not the same persons that we used to be. Now we are the body of Christ. Now we have been brought and drawn to the things of God. And we're called to reflect him. He is to be seen in our lives. Ephesians chapter 2. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. No small thing. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. God dwells upon this earth to this day. He dwelt fully in the person of Jesus Christ when he walked upon this earth for 33 years, 3 years of ministry. God in the flesh. Now, we are that body of Christ. Not in just one person, but together. And we are called to make him visible still upon this earth. Ephesians chapter 4 is a section talking about spiritual gifts. That is, each of us are gifted to function as part of that body. We're looking at elements here, and we're going to be eating this bread, which in many passages of Scripture says that's his body. But Jesus wants us to go beyond just that physical body to this physical body. And we're called to remember it. Here we do it once a month. Some people do it every week. Some people do it every quarter. But we're called to remember him. These are the purposes of spiritual gifts. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We have a solid foundation, and we've got solid teaching. We don't have to be carried about by every new doctrine that comes along. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. Jesus is the head, we're his body, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Why do we build up the body? So we feel better? No, it's to make him visible. It's to make Jesus Christ visible. We're his body. And when we function as the body, the way he wants us to, God can be seen. That's the word glory. That's the word glorify. We're called to glorify or to reflect or reveal the person of God. Now, with these elements, we're reminded again of the cross. The cross enables us then to be forgiven, to be called into his household, to be his children, to be part of his body. We saw a passage a couple weeks ago where Jesus told the disciples, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says he is with you, but will be in you. It is that Acts chapter 2, the baptism of the Spirit, when we are immersed into the body of Christ, his Spirit comes to indwell each one of us. So we can reflect it. These elements, this body, now these bread elements, could I have the men come forward to help with these elements? this bread, it's like it's from one loaf of bread, and the pieces are broken down. We tear off pieces from one loaf because we're all parts of it. We're parts of this body. So when we talk about the body of Christ, it's not so much these elements or that body, but they represent that body that we are all a part of. So these are all for anybody who is part of the body of Christ. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you take this. It represents you as part of a whole. In a very real sense, the body of Christ. We are in a very real sense the body of Christ. Physical body doesn't need to be. He wants to take us beyond the physical to the spiritual. He wants to remind us of a bigger picture than just physical stuff, temporal stuff. And he can do that. We can do that because we are bigger than just the physical. We have the very life of God within us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And having given thanks, and Lord, we come to you and thanking you for going to the cross, for thanking you for this body, for thanking you for this bread. Having given thoughts, he said, take this, eat this. Because when you do this in remembrance of me." Father, thank you for the bread. Thank you for the cup. Thank you for this body. In Jesus' name. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Father, we proclaim your death because it gave life. And we proclaim that life that can be seen in us. I pray that you'll show it forth. In Jesus' precious name.